Today on the Inland Journal podcast, we feature the Spokane City Council president race with businesswoman Cindy Wendell and Councilman Brian Beggs. Both hope to replace the two-term incumbent Ben Stuckert. We heard last time from Beggs. Today, Steve Jackson will talk with Cindy Wendell. Wendell is a Pullman native. She attended the University of Washington and then married into the family that owns the Wendell Automotive Dealership in Spokane. She's worked in banking and now owns and manages Northtown Square. Here's Cindy Wendell's interview with Steve Jackson.
Maybe we'll talk about the homelessness issue because that seems to be the hot button one this year. And I realize everybody's been bringing it up. We don't have to dwell on it too long, but maybe just the best strategy for moving ahead. I mean, do we need a regional approach or what's the city's role in this versus the private sector?
There's a lot to learn, first of all. I think there's a lot more data gathering to do, information that we need to gather. But I think the first and foremost on a bigger picture is what you mentioned is the regional approach. Understanding what our role is here. I mean, we do have people coming here for services. We need to understand and reach out and say, hey, here's what's going on, what we're seeing from our end. What are you seeing on your end? And what are we going to do together to make this work for everybody? I think we've got taxpayers that are paying money for services that want to make sure that the funds are being used to help people get healthier. And I think people in Spokane are very generous. I don't think it's an issue necessarily of if you don't live here, you can't have services. It's, but hey, how are we bringing in our outside partners if we do have people coming here to help us with this and really make sure it's a regional approach and a regional solution versus just the silo effect of things happening and really not being able to really adequately address the issue? I don't think we're going to address it if we do it on our own. It's got to be a partnership.
And are you thinking with other communities in the
region? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Is that primarily what you mean?
I think regional partnerships with other communities. Also, I've already sat down with some officials at City of Spokane Valley. I've reached out to Whitman County. I think it's bigger than just the next door neighbor approach. I think it really is. I mean, when we say regional, I mean county, like outside our own county that we've got to reach out to and talk to. The other thing, too, though, is the local partnership. So a regional approach, but also a partnership approach. So it's the service providers are ones that are government funded, also the ones that are private. I mean, there's a lot of privately funded nonprofits that we need to make sure we're pulling everybody together, making sure the services aren't overlapping, understanding what the overall goal is and what the data and sharing data, like making sure that we've got, if you've got certain data that we're making sure we've got it in our HMIS system, that we're using that system to pull out what we want. And then the third piece of that too is the business partners, making sure our business partners are part of our solution and that they understand where we're going and how they can be a part of it.
Do you think the city, as far as the, and we'll get into the budget later, but have you looked at the budget in terms of how much is being spent on the homelessness issue?
I mean, in all, it's about, it breaks down to about $11 million a year. But you have to also understand that's not all our own dollars. So we've got federal money coming in that's filtered through the state that comes here to the city. So about a third of that is what is local. But I believe is generally locally generated for the homeless. And that's a lot of money. We really have to make sure that it's intentional and that we have agreed upon metrics of A, what the data we're gathering, and B, what our outcomes are. Making sure that we're all on the same page.
And maybe the final question on this too, the relationship between homelessness and crime. I mean, there's a lot of people that are making the case that it's a big drug issue, and maybe just your general thoughts on that.
Yeah, I definitely think we need to make sure we're not generalizing it. There are very different subsets of people that need help, and it does nobody any good for us to criminalize homelessness at all. We need to recognize that we have some visibly homeless people downtown. That seems to be more of what is in a lot of people's mind when they say homelessness. It's like, what part of that community are we talking about that is causing some issues in our downtown? It's a smaller subset. It's causing a lot of issues. I, on my police ride along, though, I can tell you that downtown we're dealing with a lot of drug abuse. Now, to paint the picture of our entire homeless community dealing with drugs, maybe not. Because like I said, we've got some data with the Spokane School District that shows we've got over 3,000 kids couch surfing. I mean, that's a totally different subsection of who we need to talk to and who we need to help. But we have to realize that there are certain, like I said, subsets of this group that we need to figure out what it is that they need and then go and get that.
Let's talk about, because related to this is the kind of housing crunch, you know, the lack of affordable housing. So let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, ideas on creating more housing, I mean, incentives for developers or what have you, but do you have some thoughts on just how to do that?
Absolutely. We do have a supply issue. Borderline crisis, honestly. I mean, we look at our vacancy rates that are low for apartments. We look at our prices that are really high to be purchasing homes. Rent is high. Absolutely. It really boils down to, though, an issue of supply. And it's something that 4 years ago, we were told by experts, economic experts, that this was an issue that Spokane was going to deal with. As an economy grows, mm-hmm. as this community gets more inviting and exciting for others to move into, that's what's going to happen unless you keep up with it. And we haven't done a good job enough of keeping up with it, working with developers, working with builders, figuring out where we can make, how we can help be a catalyst for projects that make sense. They have to make sense. The other thing that I get excited about is because of my background in real estate and working with developers is understanding what projects make sense to. Mm-hmm. We've had some issues with projects that have started and haven't completed. We've got a few visibly downtown that we need to do a better job as a city is making sure that if supply is our goal, which it is, that we make sure we do the right projects and that we're incentivizing the right projects and understand how we put those packages together.
What projects and what were you thinking about?
Well, we've got our RidPath downtown, and that's got some challenges, and the city was a partner in that. So we need to take some ownership of that and really
look
back.
That was the one for the small apartment mm-hmm. idea? Okay.
Yeah.
What about the idea of, you know, areas that right now have single-family homes and maybe building condos or doing more infill? What's your thought on that?
Very excited about. Now, not that we want to displace people out of their single-family homes, but when there's an opportunity in those areas. So I'll just give you an example. So managing commercial real estate, I work with national retailers and talk to them about coming to Spokane. And one of the top things they ask about is density. They want to make sure that you've got enough daily population around your retail centers that it's enticing for them to be here and that it would work. Mm-hmm. At our shopping center, we have single family homes behind us. It doesn't make a lot of sense if you really want as a city, as an economy, to strengthen your retail market, strengthen your sales tax base, to not look at those options. And what we talk about is those are centers and corridors, right? Yes. And you have to look at options to do that. So I think that everything should be on the table at this point, because honestly, people are suffering with housing. Mm-hmm. So everything should be on the table of what we look at right now. But we shouldn't be so blind to not really think about what would make sense either. So put it on the table, bring in the experts, really hash it out, make sure you've got good, smart people there that know what they're doing, and make sure it's the right thing.
Is there enough room? You know, we hear about the infill concept, but then maybe we're going to run out of room eventually. So should we be expanding the city boundaries and then moving out?
Oh. You know, that's a conversation. Again, I mean, everything should be on the table. I'm not saying we should or shouldn't at this point. I mean, being a non-politician, mm-hmm. I haven't been a part of those conversations on our Growth Management Act and the history and what is that looks like. Mm-hmm. But I think all of those discussions should be kind of brought up to the first surface again to see what makes sense. It does make sense to do some building centered around your urban core, however, because for the taxpayer dollars, it makes more sense. But like I said, if you need it, you need to have those conversations and not close any doors when you need to come up with solutions.
On today's Inland Journal podcast, we're talking with Cindy Wendell, who's running for Spokane City Council president.
What about the general concept of maybe, you know, small house developments and or tent cities and all these kind of various options that have been discussed? Do you have any thoughts about that related to the homeless housing issue?
Sure, sure. I think, you know, again, we go back to subsets of that community of what they really need and what they need to be healthy and what they need to engage back in society with us. There's a lot of resilience, a lot of grit, a lot of skill sets in those experiencing homelessness that we should be looking, the end goal should be re-engaging people in society and making people accountable to being healthy. So if we look at housing options for people, though, what really is the goal? Is the goal really to get people reengaged and to get them sober and to get them healthy? Because if it's just putting a roof over someone's head and not helping them be successful, that's not our end goal. Our end goal is to help them be successful. So the wraparound services piece is extremely important. Understanding why they are homeless, what they need, is going to be important too.
Does that mean that you kind of don't approve of what they call the housing first concept, you know, where they try to just get these people into housing and then worry about the drug issues and such later?
I think housing first has a role. I mean, again, it's like housing, when we're talking about affordable housing, we do have to understand that housing first plays a role in what you do as a community to have adequate capacity. But should it be your only model? Should it overtake other models and be more your primary? Probably not. But there are subsets that need that. There are benefits to housing first for the community at large, because you do help keep people out of ERs 20 sometimes a month. There are roles for that, but I'm saying the balance has to be there. And again, you have to work with that partner to make sure that those people are actually getting help that they need as well too. And it's not just sitting there and not addressing some underlying root causes and some underlying needs.
The overall idea of police accountability, are you satisfied with the current system of the public oversight with the ombudsman system, or anything in there that you find that needs improvement?
I think it absolutely needs improvement, because there's been a lack of communication with the community about what the underlying goals are from both sides that are talking about this issue. I'm frustrated that our police haven't had a contract for 3 years. I feel that there are some agenda-driven politics that are going on with that discussion that aren't being really shared with the public about why we're at a standstill. I think, again, this is an opportunity for strong leadership, for someone to come in and say, there are multiple sides to this issue. Bring everybody together to figure out what's best for all parties and come to a compromise. Don't just say it's all or nothing. It's got to be a compromise, and we have to put ourselves in each other's shoes. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of the public. The public wants transparency. We deserve transparency. That's great. We want to make sure our police are doing the right job and that they're being professional and they're holding everybody to a high standard and being respectful. We also need to put ourselves in the shoes of our police officers and the very difficult job that they're doing. They're putting their life on the line every day. And if we don't understand that when we come to the table for the right solution of what's going to work with civilian oversight, it's not going to be the right solution. And right now it seems to be like, why is this at such a standstill? Why isn't somebody trying to step up as a leader and come to a compromise and find the best solution for this community? For them to be working for 3 years without a contract, to not feel like their community is behind them, that's a tragedy.
What's your read on the body cameras? Do you think that's a good idea then?
I was on a ride-along, a couple of different ones, and I specifically asked them about the body cameras. It was pretty fascinating to watch how they were using them, trying to interact with the technology, and I was asking the officer, I said, what do you think of your body camera? He's like, I love it. You know, I mean, they want to do a good job for this community. They want to be held accountable for their good work, and they want to show people that they are doing a good job. Now, there's instances where some of them may not be turned on in time, because I can tell you from a ride along, a situation can happen in a half a second. And so for us, if you're not in their shoes, if you don't really know the issue, you shouldn't be complaining too much about it until you really understand how they work. The other thing too is they have got some issues with having to label every single video. Think about how many times they have to record in a day. How many times are pulling people, you know, talking to people. It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot for them to deal with. So we have to give some grace when we see some mistakes. If there's patterns, sure. But I think from my perspective, our officers are doing a fantastic job with the technology. I think they appreciate it and they like it. So I think there's more discussions there to be had, but I think it's been a really good program.
Let's talk about Mayor Condon's proposed budget. I mean, did you have a chance to, you know, kind of check it over, and were there priorities in there that you liked, or anything that you found that you thought was lacking? Or
I think the biggest thing that I saw was that his proposal is that we're underfunded by $3.5 million. And I have to ask, in the times when we have such great revenue, Spokane is doing pretty well on the sales tax, our sales tax revenue, why are we at a projected deficit? I think we've got over commitments in areas, and that's concerning long term. Because to me, going back to my banker life when I was looking at budgets and working a lot with people in their own budgets and businesses and small business loans. If you're in good times, if that's an issue, we are really going to be hurting when we have an economic slowdown, because some of the commitments that we are making, and labor is our biggest commitment. If you have those commitments and you're not thinking long term about what it does to your budget when sales tax revenue may not be that great, property taxes, then you need to really pay attention to that and think long term. So this is just a proposal. There's a long time before we actually, you know, this council still hasn't come up with their ideas for it. I'll be interested to hear what they say about it and what their ideas are and their priorities. But I think it's a stark reality that we need to pay better attention and make sure we're spending our dollars wisely.
And what specifics in there would you cut? I mean, you started to mention labor costs being too high. Is that something you would try to cut? Or any, if you had to cut the $3.5 million, do you have any ideas what you'd look at?
Well, labor is your most important. I mean, you say you don't want to just cut labor. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is always, though, in almost every business's budget, and let's say, you know, city's a business with 2,200 employees, it's always your largest, right? But it's your most important. People are the most important aspect of any business, including our city. So to sit there and think that's where you cut it, I'm not comfortable with that. But I do think it's some of, you just have to understand then, if you've got that big commitment, what else can you not do? So it's just one of those like, okay, well, we want to commit to our people and pay people well, but what else then are we going to be sacrificing for that, the give and take, to go in there and really look at that? I don't necessarily think at this point there's a cutting mechanism to that budget. I think there's going to be movement in there to make sure it gets balanced. Mm-hmm. But again, I think when people talk about budgets and you think about who's going to lead your council to do a good job of looking at a budget, you want to make sure you've got people with some background. That's my background.
This special Inland Journal podcast features Steve Jackson talking with Cindy Wendell, one of the candidates for Spokane City Council president.
Street building, you know, the street things comes up every election. Are the priorities right in relation to that in the budget, or just your overall thoughts on street repair and maintenance?
Well, they've got a good plan. I mean, we've had our street bond issue a couple of years ago that the voters approved, and we've been putting that into place and doing some maintenance. It's frustrating, I can tell you, from the thousands of doors I've knocked on, that people just don't feel like it's done enough. They're like, wait a minute, like, we're spending all this money, we approved this, and why is it that I still have major potholes over here? Or I think the conversation, though, may be shifting a little bit too from just potholes, but more of an overall strategy of how traffic is flowing in Spokane and accessibility for things. And people are really starting to talk about that, I think, because we're seeing some more housing developments going up, some more apartments and multifamily housing that's putting pressure on certain arterials and certain places. They want to know what the city's plan is, and they don't feel like the city's communicated that to what's going on.
What were your thoughts on the North Monroe change? Did you think that was a good thing?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's still a little early, but I hear conflicting, right? I hear from citizens and some people that are commuters that they're frustrated that they can't get from A to B as quickly as they used to be, or that it's putting pressure on other arterials. On the other hand, I hear from some businesses that they love it, that it's done a great job for them. I still think there's, again, hearing both sides of the story is really important because I haven't done a lot of homework to understand for me to be super comfortable to say that. I've heard some good things on both sides, and I've heard frustrations on both as well.
What were some other areas you mentioned there was traffic issues? Are there some other hot spots you're thinking of?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all over town. So up North Indian Trail, up doorbelling of that area, doorbell on the South Hill. You know, people will talk about the Regal area. They just talk about in some traffic calming. But I think there's been some very popular measures for making neighborhoods safer. But I also think that people are frustrated because in some ways they're like, well, what's the plan then? If you slow down this street
with like the traffic circle kind of thing?
Then where do they go in another way? So again, it's a communication piece, I think, from the city to make sure the citizens know what the overall goal is and the plan is.
What are your thoughts on climate change? Do you believe that's actually happening? And B, do you think that mankind has an effect on that? That's the first question.
Well, I think those are issues that at a local level, you look out. I mean, I have two kids with asthma, and it's undeniable that the summers are different than they used to be. You've got to deal with a lot more smoke than we had to. Whether or not that's a an ailment of climate change and per se or other issues. I don't know. I think we have some different climate issues to talk about, but I think at a local level, that's where when I'm at the door, when I'm talking to people and I ask what their top issue is, it comes down to the local level. And honestly, it's always homelessness, roads, and public safety.
Mm-hmm.
I have not honestly had one door tell me that climate change is their top issue for Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to drill down and talk to people about what other issues do you find important about Spokane, I mean, we have got some phenomenal natural resources here that we want to take care of. We want to take care of our river. We want to take care of our neighborhoods, our parks, and make sure that things are green and welcoming and beautiful for the city, right? And we're doing a good job. I think the other aspect, though, as well, is making sure that we really dig down a little bit deeper and make sure how we're really taking care of our community at a personal level and everybody's personal commitments to making sure that our community is safe and clean.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think as a city, we talk too much about this whole 50,000 foot level, but does it really make a difference for our own city? We talk about renewable energy. The other side of that conversation has to be at what cost? We've got the poorest zip codes in the entire state in this community. There is a very disproportionate impact when we're talking about overarching goals like that, which I don't think anybody's going to argue that we want a cleaner, healthier climate and environment. But you have to also talk about how does that make sense for people that are literally living? I mean, the huge percentage of people in this community are living below the poverty line. How does that impact them and the utilities that they're going to have to pay? So again, this is this back and forth conversation that you need to bring everybody to the table to have these conversations instead of coming at them either agenda-driven politics or from a very outside perspective that's not driven by what people want here in Spokane versus what somebody's political agenda wants for us.
And were you thinking in terms of that renewable energy goal that the city has for the 2030, mm-hmm. do you think that could create financial hardship for some of these folks?
I absolutely do.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that was driven by what the people want here in Spokane. I don't think that was driven by somebody, the overarching majority of Spokane coming together saying, this is what we want as a community. It definitely is a top-down idea, and it's not something that I hear at the door that people want.
Okay. And did you know, Avista kind of supported that idea. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, they seemed very willing to go along with the city on that and said it was a doable thing.
Well, I think I wasn't there in those conversations, so I have no idea what Visa would, you know. I mean, obviously,
right.
I think they're a willing partner, but again, at what cost? We'll see.
Okay. Hey, and I thought of something too when you mentioned the river. Do you have special what are your concerns with the river? I mean, we hear about the PCBs and the pollutants mm-hmm. in the river. Do you have special concerns about that? Or
well, I did go down and tour our new wastewater treatment facility a couple weeks ago, and I was actually able to go with Mike Taylor before he passed away. Unfortunately, the city should be celebrating him and his legacy. Oh, that man is an incredible leader, and that project. So one of the largest estates in the entire state, it's under budget and on time. There are things that we should be celebrating about our CSO tank and all the things that are coming into that new wastewater treatment plant. But down there, he was showing me all the levels, the different levels that we're going through, and that the end all goal is the percentage of PCBs that are going to be removed from the water, which is phenomenal. The quality of the water that we'll be putting into the river is literally drinking quality water. At the end of the day, not yet, but when this is all said and done. So what we've done is a phenomenal investment and a gift as a legacy for future generations in Spokane. I think, though, we have to also look again when we go back to that personal level, some of the littler things that we need to pay attention about that could threaten our river and the way people are using the recreation that we're going to be having on the river as we grow and grow and grow, just paying attention to it, making mm-hmm. sure everybody's being respectful of our river. We've got to look at our camping. I mean, we've got people along our river, and I've talked to people that will kayak and float the river and say, I've never seen it look like that. Like, this is tragic.
Oh, because of, like, are you talking about homeless encampments next
mm-hmm.
to the river? Okay.
Yeah. And just paying attention to some of those things. Those have an impact on the quality of our resources. And we can't just let it slip away and not really be paying attention to it.
What I think that will work, but I want to ask you, what are we not addressing here that you think is a priority that maybe we can add? Because we still have a few more minutes if you wanted to bring up another topic, or what am I not?
One thing, if I can address, I mean, I do think there's a couple issues. One, I think, is an overarching theme of leadership for the city. You know, what we want, and what's going to be the best thing moving forward. In my race in particular, I think there's a lot of agenda-driven politics that are playing in where my opponents come from, what the background is, and some of the ideas. He's been behind some very controversial initiatives that have been put before the voters that they voted down in the past.
Bring those up. I kind of think I know which ones you're talking about, but which
Coal
ones
Train,
do you think?
Yeah, Coal Train Initiative, Envision Spokane. Things that would have put us in a potential for very expensive lawsuits. And those ideas were not driven by the majority of the voters. They voted it down. That, again, was an example of top-down agenda politics. I'm a first-time candidate. I don't come from politics. I come from being a community member, active on nonprofit boards, running a small business, spending time as a stay-at-home mom. I listen a lot. I go out and try and talk to voters, and my leadership style is to bring ideas from the people up to government. And it's not about me. It's not about all what I think. It's what about people think. And my job is to go out and find out what people are thinking and what they want. I think that's a very stark difference in this race. And so that is one thing that I'm hearing a lot of, is people just seem that they are frustrated with the way things have gone. They're not better today than they were 3 years ago. And they really want something different.
Cindy Wendell is running for Spokane City Council president. Her opponent is Brian Beggs, from whom we heard yesterday. You can hear all of our interviews with candidates for Spokane and Spokane Valley city offices at the Spokane Public Radio website. Click on the Regional News tab and then on Election 2019, or go to the Inland Journal page. Or you can listen to them by subscribing to the Inland Journal podcast in Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. Thank you for joining us. I'm Doug Nadvornik.